590 The Fan.
Albert's going to play so much more than people think. He is. He's a draw, and he's going to be productive. He will reach 700 career home runs.
I do have bad news, Cardinal fans. I have bad news.
He's going to hit his 700th career home run on the road.
And only fitting, it'll be in Wrigley, right?
No. Friday night in Los Angeles in September.
Of Clayton Kershaw.
That's when it's going to happen against his former teammate. Hall of Famer versus Hall of Famer. It'll be on the road.
I can't wait to see it.
Woo! That was our insider. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. The Oracle himself, Greg Amsinger, studio host at MLB Network, who made the world's boldest and most accurate, except for one little tidbit, prediction back in April. Greg, holy moly, you must be having a whirlwind of a week after that clip went viral.
It went viral. My phone blew up. Naturally, I'm a lot. So I've lost a lot of friends over this because I gloat, and that's fine. Those friends weren't really in my inner circle anyway. The thing that bothers me is, yeah, I got so many haters who are like, oh, I messed up the Clayton Kershaw part of it. This was in April that I made this prediction, and Clayton Kershaw was moved back a day. He was supposed to start on Friday.
Oh,
I said this in April. They pushed him back to Saturday. So if you ask me, I think there was buzz. I think the Dodgers were like, oh, we can't let this guy nail this prediction. Let's move Kershaw back. I think I was in the minds of the Dodgers, and that is what happened. I'm telling you, it's weird.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what's your week been like? I'm like, I'm surprised we got you. I mean, you got to be fending off media requests left and right.
Well, I love my Canadian friends. I've got to be honest, and I will always lean towards any interview in Canada. I love my time there. I wish I could live there. I thoroughly enjoy Canada. I will say that I have turned down some requests because it's been off the chain crazy. I've done something like this before. Years ago, I predicted a Buster Posey home run, and the exact call from play-by-play announcer and laid out right when verbatim happened. And then my favorite prediction I ever made was at the All-Star game, Derek Jeter's final All-Star game. And I was hosting a pregame show, a red carpet show, when the players arrived. And Mike Trout was on the set. And I go, Mike, at the end of the interview, I go, Mike, it's going to be so cool when your first at-bat comes up tonight and you hit a rocket off the right field wall and you slide headfirst into third base and the captain looks at you after you drop him in his final All-Star game and he tips his cap to you. That's going to be an awesome moment for you, Mike. And he goes, yeah, man, I can't wait. And then it literally happened in the All-Star game. And the next year, Mike Trout comes on the red carpet show. And I go, hey, Mike, you know what I'm going to ask you about? And he looks, puts his head down. He's like, you mean your prediction last year? I go, yeah. I go, the only question I have for you is this. When you were running towards third base, and just be honest with me here, were you thinking about me just a little bit? He said, no, but I knew he was lying. Mm-hmm. I knew he was, because that was a crazy prediction.
So this is spooky. You've done this quite a few times. So now it's time to put the theory to the test here. Aaron Judge has the opportunity to potentially do this in Toronto tonight to get that record-breaking moment. He has been shut out in a slump for a few games here. How does it happen?
I don't think it happens in Canada. I really don't. First off, the Yankees are partying tonight, or last night. They're partying. And I really believe Aaron Judge is not pressing. The thing that bothers me, and I get so many people are stopping me, go, what's wrong with Aaron Judge? He's gone over 30 plate appearances without a home run. No one struggles in this sport of baseball when their on-base percentage is over 500, okay? He is not struggling. He is really a productive baseball player still. His outs are loud. He's hitting the ball hard. He leads baseball in exit velocity, barrel percentage, since he hit his 60th home run. So he's hitting the ball incredibly hard. He's walking incessantly. He's getting on base all the time. He is not struggling. I don't think this is something that he's really overly focused on. I got to be honest with you. Knowing Aaron, I think he really truly wants to win the Triple Crown. He really wants that accolade. He knows he's going to hit 61. Matter of fact, I think he knows, even though there's what, 7 or 8 games left, he knows he's going to get 62. He's that confident. I don't think it's going to happen in Canada. My dear friend Harold Reynolds predicted last night, as he was trying to match me, because he just can't let me have a moment, apparently. He just can't let his good friend have a moment. He goes, I'm going to pull a Greg and say that Aaron Judge hits a home run tomorrow. I'm like, wow, that's going to go viral, Harold. You're predicting that Aaron Judge will hit a home run tomorrow. Oh, my goodness, that happens. I can't wait to see. You're going to break the internet. But anyway, I don't think it happens tomorrow. I think he's going to do it at Yankee Stadium. That's where he wants to do it, and that's where I think it's going to take place.
Okay, we need more specifics. 3 games at home versus Baltimore. Just, we know you're going to clip this, and maybe it becomes the actual prediction once again. But if you had to do the Oracle, Greg, what is it today? What's your prediction?
So the prediction, the way it works for me, is I, and people do this all the time, they ask me for predictions, like, hey, tell me how long I'm going
to
live.
It's like going to like a tarot card reader.
The way I operate is this, and I've told people this for years. I host a 3-hour TV show every night where I don't read any cue cards. I don't have a prompter. I ad-lib everything. And I was like, how do you do that, Greg? How do you do that? Well, I don't ever say what I think. No one cares to know what I think about anything. I only say what I feel. And that's a complete, honest answer. So what I look at a show like a living thing, right? And I feel the energy of the two guys I'm on the air with, everyone in the control room, what's happening in live baseball at the moment. I'm only saying what I feel. The show is a live, living thing. So predictions that come out of me are just spur of the moment. If I feel it, I say it, right? And the Aaron Judge thing, I'm not feeling anything right now. I'm not. But if I do feel anything, I'll let you know. But
okay,
if you
please
force me to go, hey, you know, when am I finally going to stop being single? I really want to get married. I need to know. I'm not going to be able to give you an accurate prediction.
I mean, I guess it's fair that you have your content on your platforms, but you did give us that it's going to happen at Yankee Stadium. So that means it's going to happen either Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I guess that's enough for us. I'm curious, because we've had this discussion a little bit over the last few days. What's a better accomplishment, 700 home runs career or 62 home runs in a single season?
I think it's 70 or 700 home runs. Roger Maris is not in the Hall of Fame. You can have these miraculous moments, but to be able, I tell my kids this all the time, the key to success is consistency. It is being the same great performer every day, no matter what you do in life. For Albert Pujols, the way he started his career, we'll never see again. We will never see a player start their career with 11 consecutive seasons of 300 average, 30 homers, and 100 RBIs. We'll never see that again. That will never, ever happen again. So his beginning to his career was amazing. I had an argument with Harold Reynolds last night where he said, you know, I really think the difference out for Albert this year, he moved his hands, plate in the ballpark he's playing in now. You know, they're not as cavernous as Anaheim and Seattle. I'm like, do we always have to have like a factual, literal answer? The walls are slightly moved in. Like, there's always got to be a black ink answer as to why this is happening. I can't stand that. I'm from St. Louis. I grew up there. Albert Pujols was my favorite player when he played there. Ozzie Smith's my favorite player of all time. I predicted in April that Albert Pujols was going to play so much more than people thought he was going to play. For this reason, when he came back after he'd left for 8 years, he was an Angel for 8 years, he came back for the first time to St. Louis. I witnessed what happened to Albert Pujols. He literally walked to the plate and got a standing ovation every time he came up. What that did is, you know, you hear muscle memory, that expression, muscle memory. It engaged his spiritual muscle memory. He was wired as a player to be loved like he was a Hall of Famer since 2001 when he was an MVP candidate, Rookie of the Year. He has been adored like the best player on the planet since 2001. That is what he was used to for the first 11 years of his career. He went to the Angels, and he was treated that way for the first year. And then this guy, Mike Trout, showed up. And Albert Pujols was old news. He was no longer the superstar. The best player on the planet was a kid that was his teammate. And then it just went downhill for him. Spiritually, when he returned to St. Louis and was adored and loved, he hit bombs. I mean, Cardinal fans were cheering when he hit home runs against the Cardinals. And I saw it all over his face that he had realized that he left the girl he should have stayed with. And I knew that when he came back to St. Louis, it's one of the reasons why he played well for the Dodgers was because Dodger fans were obsessed with Albert Pujols. That a great Latino fan base to understand this Dominican legend was special and they adored him. So I knew in April that he was going to feed off that spiritual muscle memory of, oh my gosh, I'm back. This reminds me of being one of the best players in the sport. I might be 42 years old, but I got my swagger back. Harold thought that was a ridiculous piece of analysis. I kindly disagree with him. And I do believe that mental health affects athletes. It made his tail wag. And that's why Albert Pujols is playing like he's 24 again when he's 42 years old.
Okay, Greg, with the Albert Pujols story, what Aaron Judge is chasing, with the way that Shohei Ohtani has continued to be the superstar that he is this the best ever baseball season for storylines?
Oof. You know, I go back to, I've been following this. It's a great question. 1941, how do you not compare it to 1941? Joe DiMaggio, the 56-game hitting streak. Ted Williams hits 400, and we just assume we're going to see that again. So Ted Williams does not win the MVP when he hits over 400. I mean, that's ridiculous. But I would put this above that. I would put this above 1941. I think this is the greatest MVP race between two players of all time. We've got a guy who's an MVP candidate as a hitter and a Cy Young candidate as a pitcher, and he's not going to win. Matter of fact, I would be shocked. Unanimous American League Most Valuable Player. I would be shocked. There's going to be some writer out west that will vote for Ohtani. And yes, you can give me a million reasons why Ohtani, you know, is doing something that no one's ever done. Hey, what's Aaron Judge's best pitch? He doesn't pitch. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. And I can't really explain that to you as to why Judge should be unanimous. But man, I got to tell you, you know, I love the way writers used to vote for the Most Valuable Player award. You know, writers back in the day, there wasn't all the access to watching baseball, to seeing your favorite players. So people had to read the newspaper to hear what happened in the game. And because of that, these great storytellers would make these players out to be heroes. They gave you every detail of the game. And if you were following along and you're reading about Ohtani versus Judge, what you would be reading about if there was the same platform today where the only way you got your information was from newspapers, from great storytellers that were the baseball writers back in the day, they would be talking about this giant of a man who was on a team that couldn't hit, and he dragged the New York Yankees to the playoffs by himself. Aaron Judge would be essentially a player with a cape on his back, leading his team to the playoffs. Whereas Shohei Ohtani would be doing something that would you would need a ticket to go to a circus to watch this guy pull off, but his team would not be in the playoffs. And to baseball fans back then, they would have to go, wow, this hero, this larger-than-life hero, Aaron Judge, who's doing something no one's ever done before, which is break the single-season home run record without cheating, without using steroids. I'm sorry, Aaron Judge should be the unanimous MVP. It is the story of baseball. Ohtani, if he performs like this every year for the next 5 years, will have five more MVPs. But this is the type of season it takes to somehow pull the hardware away from the great Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you were joking when you said 1942, because news cycle obviously a bit different, but maybe the quality of news was what it was. Clearly, would be, you know, different than it is now. But I mean, just in terms of taking over social media, taking over the sports world, certainly Judge has done that. And you're right, the purity is a big thing. Like Sosa and Maguire, they captivated the sports world for sure. But we know what we know now, and what Judge and Ohtani are doing. In a clean world, just incredible.
You know, people say, well, we've already seen it before. You know, and now we've seen it. We've seen Barry Bonds. We've seen Maguire. We've seen Sosa. We've seen what Aaron Judge has done before. And the analogy I give is, let's pretend we've never had a billionaire before. And someone goes, no, we've seen three billionaires, Greg. Stop saying that's a big deal. It's not a big deal. There are three people that are worth over $1 billion. And if I said to them, but wait a minute, they robbed banks. Those three people robbed banks. That's why they have $1 billion. This is the first person that actually earned $1 billion. This is the first billionaire. He actually figured out a way to earn the money. He did it. He generated it. He didn't steal the money from bank. And then the argument would be, but yeah, but it doesn't matter because these three people have $1 billion. So we've seen people with $1 billion. No, the process matters. And the one thing I've learned since covering this baseball, the sport on a daily basis since 2009, PEDs, they work. Oh, my God, they work. I mean, do you guys remember Melky Cabrera? He went from a fourth outfielder to the best hitter in baseball when he was with the San Francisco Giants. I mean, this stuff really does matter. It makes these guys superheroes. Aaron Judge was exactly the same human when I met him the night of the draft. He was in our studio. I've been hosting the draft since 2009. I remember meeting Aaron Judge along with all the other draftees, and Harold Reynolds and I looked at each other and were like, you got to be kidding me. How is this kid not number one? He's literally a chiseled 6'7" specimen, exactly the same as he is today. And all the draft experts, the people that do it for a living every single day, while Harold and I host it, we still have a real day job of covering Major League Baseball every single day. We're on the set going, we would draft Aaron Judge number one. And they're all giggling because obviously our ignorance is ridiculous. And you know, we're lost to the fact that he's a 6'7" specimen who can run and can throw and can play center field. And we're lost in that. And my favorite line was, I'm not going to say who this was from, but he's on the set with us that night. He was the draft guru. He goes, Greg, calm down. He's not going to be number one. I'd be shocked if he was in the first round. His power doesn't translate into games. And Harold and I looked at each other and we're like, well, I think a team can teach him that. They can teach this dude to hit the ball in the air. And then our cohorts giggled and they're like, no, he's a big guy, but his power doesn't translate into games. The Yankees drafted him in the first round, and it was a shocker. It was a shocker that he actually went in the first round. That is how crazy the analysis is of how we view players. But let me just say this. I saw him in person coming out of Fresno State, and Barry Bonds didn't look the way he did when he broke the record when he came out as a college player in Arizona State. Look at Mark McGwire when he came out of college at USC. Look at Sammy Sosa when he was a 19 or 20-year-old breaking the big leagues with the White Sox. He was skinny. He wasn't the same. This is the real deal, and we should be celebrating what Aaron Judge is doing, because it is authentic, which is what we strive for in every sport.
Let's squeeze in some Blue Jays with you before we let you go, Greg. Where are you at with this team? Magic number down to 2, game and a half above the Rays in the wild card chase, home field advantage. Very, very important, this team, so much so that we've had discussions about Alek Manoah potentially starting game 162 if it actually mattered, which Ailish and I agree is patently absurd, but we digress. Where do you think they are in terms of their competitive level in a short-term series here with the top-of-the-rotation starters they have? And, of course, an offense that can explode at any time but has been frustrating to watch at times this season.
Well, I will just say this. I do get some predictions wrong. I do. Before the season started, my prediction of who would play each other in the World Series, the Philadelphia Phillies against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Wow.
This is what I
still predicted. Still alive, Greg. Still alive.
And I know it's still alive. Anything can happen. So maybe it will. But what I'll say is this, in the short term, they have to have home field advantage over the Tampa Bay Rays. That has to happen. The Rays are a great baseball team at home. They're five games under 500 away from Tropicana Field. You cannot play the Tampa Bay Rays in a series with them having home field advantage. That just can't happen. You're not going to win. So the games matter. I think the Blue Jays are an insanely dangerous team. What is happening is what any Blue Jay fan wanted to happen towards the end of September. The best players are coming out of hibernation. Bo Bichette, Vladdy Guerrero, these guys are hitting the ball hard. They're getting on base. They're hitting for average. George Springer's going to hit a home run every other day in October, so you can just lean on that. He's one of the great postseason performers that are currently playing the game. You've got breakout stars. Manoah's one of them. Alejandro Kirk, I can't wait to see what he does in a playoff series. This is a really dangerous team. The emergence of guys like Ross Stripling, that's important for this club. I would love Romano in the back end of the bullpen. Do I think he's got the pedigree to be a shutdown guy in October? I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But with Manoah being a game one guy to be a true ace, that's what you need. You need the stuff, the swing and miss stuff to give you multiple starts in the series. That's what concerns me with the Cardinals. I don't know if they have that in the rotation. Jordan Montgomery's come back down to earth. Quintana's never going to be swing and miss. Adam Wainwright is not that anymore, throwing 89 miles an hour with a fastball. They don't have swing and miss to start games. The Blue Jays do. They've got a lineup that everyone's afraid of. And if this team gets going and rolling postseason play, Rogers Center, you don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great venues in all of postseason baseball. So I think the Blue Jays are still, to me, a World Series favorite. I look at the Blue Jays in that regard. I think the Yankees are a mess. They're going to get pitched. Everyone's going to pitch around Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge will not swing the bat come October baseball. He will not. Why would you let Aaron Judge swing the bat mm-hmm. in a lineup where no one's got an OPS 800 around him? So I think the Astros, Blue Jays are the two teams that are the most dangerous in the American League.
Absolutely love that answer. I'm sure all our listeners driving in with Blue Jays perspectives are very happy to hear that. And you're the Oracle. So if you're saying they have World Series aspirations and they could be a favorite, we'll take it. Greg, appreciate you joining us this morning. We will certainly catch up with you down the stretch here.
Well, that was fun. We'll do it again, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Greg Amsinger, studio host at MLB Network, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Couple predictions. He was he's tentative. I think he probably gets asked, please predict when I'm going to get engaged. Please predict exactly where Aaron Judge is going to hit number 62, which seat so I can be sitting in it, and which game that will make me a multimillionaire. He's got to be smart about his prediction. Can't be throwing them out.
And you got to own your content. I mean, he's doing us a solid here this morning, but, you know, as he mentioned, 3 hours live TV. I'm sure he's saving his final Aaron Judge prediction on home run number 62 for a conversation with Harold Reynolds, who he seems to have a pretty quality rivalry with. brought him up multiple times. Some serious shade for Harold.
They have a history for sure, those two disagreeing and being competitive in terms of their takes. So Blue Jays looking to salvage tonight's game with Mitch White on the bump against Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole, a fan favorite. A couple weeks ago, I asked I don't know how it came up, but I asked the text line who some of their least favorite athletes of all time were. A lot of people say Garrett Cole. Not big Garrett Cole fan base here in the city of Toronto. He's on the mound on the other side. The Yankees understandably went out and enjoyed themselves last night, I'm sure, after clinching the AL. I think it's bodes well for betting tonight with those narratives in mind. Blue Jays have a get right game after last night.
And it's been a while since they've lost a series. So if you stay in series winning mode, surely that bodes well for postseason series. Not that it really, really matters, but if they stay winning series, I think that's a good sign heading in. I think they might be like 6-0-3 in their last series. Mm-hmm. So on a good run, in terms of continuing to take something from every opposing team that they face. And in order to win another series, of course, Mitch White has got to, you know, put together a decent start and make sure the Blue Jays have a chance to win.
We'll set all this up, including Wednesday's anchor, the fan's choice, the anchor for the Wake and Rake, presented by Unibet. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds yesterday. Not our best showing. Pretty humbling after day one. Success rate was batting 1,000. And we go 0-for yesterday.
I'm choosing to take the positives. If we're going to lose, lose all of them.
Yeah,
The worst is when you have one straggler that lets you down. So, you know, we want our percentage from like the individual pick standpoint to be strong, obviously. What we really want is to be right on the same days. And if one of us is wrong, let's all be wrong on the same day.
Agree. Tuesday's anchor was Avery from Pembroke. I appreciate getting in there.
The over 7.5, just narrowly.
Just narrowly. Don't see that Avery has texted in this morning. Avery is not interested.
Probably angry with me for blowing up the parlay at 2 p.m.
We do have a bunch of Wake and Rake submissions. Appreciate you guys getting up early and sending them in on the text line, 590-590. We are going to close that off around 8 a.m. every day. Jays and Yankees, Game 3, series finale tonight, 7 o'clock start. Mitch White versus Gerrit Cole. A lot on the line. A lot of intrigue around what the Yankees did last night, how they're showing up, fresh-faced or not. Leafs versus Montreal as well tonight, 7 p.m. as well. We do have some lines on that. You know, preseason lines are just kind of, this is what it is. You like it or not. And then we have Ailish's just $5, as always. Let's start with some Wake and Rake submissions.
Yeah, let's get the anchor down.
Okay.
And by the way, your internal malfunctioning before the break was great. Not at all a workplace hazard moving forward.
Vladdy over 1.5 bases is a submission from Sean from Guelph. So the logic behind this, Vladdy over 1.5 bases, is Vladdy has a 3.75 career ERA and a... Career ERA and a 1.153 OPS versus Cole in 25 at-bats. Half of his hits have been extra base hits. That's quite the analysis from Sean from Guelph.
3.75 career batting average, I assume, is what was thrown out there, what it should be.
Sean from Guelph.
I'm open to it. You know, Vladdy, a little slap on the wrist last night. You know, it hasn't been a feast for Vladdy of late. Minor breakout, maybe a step back. Seems like it's up and down. But success against Gerrit Cole is important, and I think we might be leaning towards, hey, can we fade Gerrit Cole tonight? Did Gerrit Cole get into the celebration last night?
Big time.
Possible. And if he did, you know, then we're looking for ways to fade that, right? Or at least exploit that.
Similar narrative from our guy, Chad from Peterborough. I like Vladdy against Cole, and there's always a lot of trash talk about Vladdy last night on the New York media side, so that's going to motivate him. Over, well, one RBI for Vladdy at plus 200 on Unibet to get an RBI.
That'll juice up the parlay. Okay, so a couple of Vladdy options there. Let's circle back.
A lot of people are big on the Jays tonight, so let's just get that out of the way. Jays and runs, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Lots of runs potentially tonight with the way that things are lining up. Here's an interesting one. People think that there could be a Kikuchi showing tonight. Here's a lengthy text in from Arkell from downtown Toronto. Max from the Arkells. The Yankees and Jays over 7.5 is a slam dunk. Cole has been getting hit hard of late and has given up 4 runs in 3 straight starts. Jays will be locked in since they have a lot to play for. Most importantly, Mitch White. Bleary-eyed Yankees will have no problem getting to him. And finally, there are rumors last week that Kikuchi might piggyback on this game. I believe the chances are good. Bullpen has been used a lot this series, and no need blowing it out before going into an easily won series against Boston. I have no problem juicing this to 8.5 for the plus money.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that. It's a very reasonable anchor, just something that's not out of control, something that's, you know, you're getting a 50-50 proposition regardless. I feel like, is it always a different or always a pretty safe way to go in terms of at least getting something that's very in play? I think we both agree Gerrit Cole might get hit. We always see Mitch White get hit. Again, the Yankees, though, how motivated are they going to be coming back in this game? Is it possible Mitch White shuts them down? As he mentioned, like, even if they're not feeling so hot today, Mitch White generally gives you a chance to put the bat on the ball.
I'm going to sprinkle in a couple more in this narrative here. I'd like to submit for Wake and Rake Jays Yankees total over 7.5 runs. Also, this could be the day for Judge getting 61. That's Chris from Etobicoke, so also liking the over. And Blue Jays over 3.5, so just the team over, would be my Wake and Rake pick. They've surprisingly hit Gerrit Cole pretty well this year. They've scored at least 5 runs in both games that Cole has started against them this year. That's Corey from Port Hope.
Is there any concern for you that, you know, after getting kind of big brothered by Alek Manoah, at least through the media, that he'll be fired up for this start? That he might be ready to go? He might have that one circled for a while.
Who, Mitch White?
No, Gerrit Cole.
Oh, Gerrit Cole.
It might not matter. But perhaps he'll be a little bit fired up after, you know,
I
that
feel
back
like he's
and forth.
Always fired up.
He is.
He's just a spicy guy.
He's a good pitcher.
Yeah.
He's not having his best year, obviously, but he's a good pitcher.
Well, Cody from St. Kitts has a different approach to this. Gerrit Cole under 7.5 strikeouts. He hasn't gone past 6 against the Jays in 2022. Had 6K and 5K, respectively. A night of partying and Big Alex staring him down. Lock it in.
It's I Cody. Like that.
I like that one a lot.
That might be my front runner.
That's minus 155 on Unibet, but I like to bet against Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, so we're not juicing the parlay too much with that. But again, we're finding a way. I think we should find a way to take Mitch White out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Like try to exploit the fact that the Yankees might not be the Yankees today. Like let's not rely on Mitch White to have a great start. Let's just look if we can like isolate one Yankee and see if we can take advantage of the situation. So Gerrit Cole in like a singular isolated mode mm-hmm. might be my pick here. Might be my what I prefer.
Okay, Cody from St. Kitts in the lead right now. Just a couple more to sprinkle through, and then we can decide. Matt from Toronto. Morning, guys. I had 8 Looney Dogs last night. I feel real rough this morning. Same. Mitch White over 1.5 walks allowed. You think he's pitching the Judge? Book it. Now, excuse me.
I don't mind that.
I'll be in the washroom all morning.
Okay. I don't mind that at all. You could have left the last part out.
I just can't seem to find that up right now in Unibet. And maybe that was... Unfortunately, they know and they've removed it. But
yeah,
a good thing to keep an eye on.
I don't know if we're going to have that option.
I really like that bet.
But if you can find that later, I think that's worth it.
Yeah, it might be a bet that later in the day, Matt, but I really like that. I think that's a great pick.
Even if he lasts pretty far in the game, like let's say he has a decent start, the Yankees aren't dialed in, mm-hmm. but he still has to hit the strike zone for that to, and you probably have one guaranteed with Aaron Judge,
mm-hmm.
unless he just decides to swing at everything tonight. So I think that's a decent standalone, but I guess we can't fit it in right now.
Something to consider later in the day. Okay, so with all those said, I just read all the ones that we'd be considering.
Okay, so do we back Vladdy or do we fade Gerrit Cole? I think that's what it comes down to.
I lean towards fading Gerrit Cole.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Let's do
under 7.5 strikeouts.
That's Cody from St. Kitts. Gerrit Cole under 7.5 strikeouts. Hasn't gone past 6 against the Jays. Had 6 and 5 respectively.
So he's flirting with it, but
night of partying. Big Alex staring him down. Lock it in.
I think that's the key. Big Alex staring him down.
Big Alec. That's locked in as part one, the anchor of the Wake and Rake this morning. Cody and St. Kitts.
It's cold.
We're still working through that one, but I like it.
Okay. That works. Let's add ours.
Yes. So yours is from this game, so go ahead.
So yeah, you're going to have to do the same game parlay and then parlay mm-hmm. that with Ailish's pick. I'm just going to take Judge over 1.5 bases. I think that's at pretty even money, maybe -115. And the rationale for that is, you know, he had 4 walks yesterday. We expect him to have opportunities to walk again. If it's not intentional, it might be deliberate. However,
but those don't count towards bases. Keep that in mind.
No, exactly. So he does have to put the ball in play, but I think he'll get the opportunity to put the ball in play tonight. Mitch White, you know, Blake Murphy made the good point at 7 a.m. that Mitch White's not necessarily home run prone, but we've seen that players can put the bat on the ball against him. And I think if Aaron Judge has, you know, he's going to get 4 or 5 looks, likely he's going to have his opportunities, I think, to put the bat on the ball. I think he's going to put balls in play. I don't think he's going to be walking all night long like he did last night. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to tie Maris or exceed Maris. But I do think he's going to maybe be even a little bit more aggressive. Hey, you just had no at-bats the other night, trying to set a record for home runs in the American League. Let's be a little bit more aggressive tonight. So I think an aggressive Judge, a Mitch White who gets hit around a lot, is a good recipe for Aaron Judge. Slapping one down the line, putting one off the wall, putting one over the fence. Either way, if he gets a double in this game, we're cashing that ticket. So I'm going to take over 1.5 bases for Aaron Judge, which is around even money.
I'm going to say that's the least confident I felt in a pick thus far, just because...
Really?
I think that he's not going to get a lot of opportunity.
Think he's going to walk 8 times in 2 games?
It's not out of the question.
It's possible, but it's not... Again, it's not intentional. Like, if he can... He can throw his bat out there if he wants to. He's been very selective. But I think in his head, he's going to be like, okay, you know, what happened last night? Let's not have that happen again. Right. Let's be a little bit more aggressive.
That's tonight. Okay. You laid it out well. It's going in the parlay.
I do want your approval, which is a little concerning.
I'm approving it. I'm just saying that sometimes I can feel a certain way. My choice for the Wake and Rake today is the Boston Red Sox to defeat the Baltimore Orioles. And that will be a very important stepping stone towards the Toronto Blue Jays clinching today. I think the Toronto Blue Jays can win tonight's game. I also think that it would be really great if the Red Sox also won, because that means that they would clinch with an Orioles loss. So I'm going to add that to our parlay. It's basically a coin toss between those two teams. It has been a bit of a tire fire series. But you know what? I believe in the karmic way of baseball. And I think the Blue Jays get it done tonight, with the factor of the Red Sox allowing for that to happen. I'm putting that in the parlay.
So, yeah, the Red Sox have to do their part for the Jays to have a celebration tonight. Mm-hmm. Jays obviously have to do their part. They need a win and an Orioles loss in order to clinch a playoff spot. But I'm with you. I see the opportunity for another champagne celebration at Rogers Center, back-to-back.
Pop some bottles.
Real pressure on the cleaning crews to, you know, have it spick and span after 2 straight.
But they have a Thursday
messy,
off.
Messy, sticky. There you go.
So there you go. The Jays tonight.
And you believe in karma.
Perfect
that
alignment.
That feels like something that's that's at least... Got to take the load off a little bit.
Jays win in quicker fashion than Red Sox Orioles, where they are waiting, or the other way around. Red Sox Orioles win quick fashion, boom, boom, boom. Jays get that final out. They look up. They see that they've clinched. They pop bottles. Zach pop bottles on the field. The Blue Jays don't play tomorrow. It's a perfect storyline for them to go out and enjoy a hard-earned clinch of the playoffs, dial it back in, and then go on their way to play Boston and maybe say thank you and defeat them this weekend. But all in all, that lines up for a very lovely storyline. And
that's a narrative I can get behind 100%.
All right.
That's approval. I wish, you know, it came back my way, but
it's fine.
Go on.
Actually, previously, before you were on the show, whenever JD kind of disagreed with my pick, I hit it. He'd be like, oh, it's the worst pick I've ever heard. And then I'd smash it. So maybe there's a little bit there.
More karma in play.
Okay, so our Wake and Rake today brought to you by Unibet, our 3-leg parlay, including our guy, Cody from St. Kitts. He's going Gerrit Cole under strikeouts, under 7.5 strikeouts, fading Gerrit Cole, believing in the Yankees having a lot of fun last night. Maybe they ate a lot of extra loony dogs that were left over. They definitely enjoyed some champagne. Fade Gerrit Cole. On the other end, Justin is not fading Aaron Judge, who's going to get over 1.5 total bases Interesting storyline there.
Like Am Singer said, what a prediction.
What a prediction.
Not fading Aaron Judge.
And then finally, I'm adding the Boston Red Sox into the money line to help the Toronto Blue Jays clinch tonight's playoff berth. Quickly on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who also played tonight. Oh, by the way, that's plus 486 on Unibet. I love it. You know, a little safer. That's fine.
Are you withholding your just $5 and Judge? I mean, you don't like my total basis, so there's no way you're playing that, right?
I will say that I have been providing the two home run Judge props every day. They have increased odds to plus 2,200 now.
Wow.
So, of course, just sprinkle $5 on it.
I think we go the Am Singer route and wait for it to happen at Yankee Stadium.
I'm feeling less positive about it, but I'll provide the odds for listeners. Plus 2,200. It was plus 1,900 yesterday. They're starting to fade Aaron Judge, too.
With Mitch on the bump.
Toronto Maple Leafs play the Montreal Canadiens at home tonight. Leafs are minus 210 on the money line. Very much predicted to win this game. Who knows who's playing? Who knows who's in the lineup? What the lines shake out to be? So it's interesting that it's that heavy of a favorite, but that's the way that Vegas views Toronto.
I mean, Matt Murray is like the only thing we really, really know. I mean, I guess we could have lineups, but like it's not a stacked lineup, and it's probably not a stacked lineup either way. We know Juraj Slafkovský is going to play for Montreal. We know Matt Murray's in net. I mean, I don't think anyone in the preseason should be a minus 210 favorite. I'm not going to advocate playing Montreal, but I'm certainly not going to advocate putting any money on the Maple Leafs to win at that number in a meaningless game.
The only thing I will say is Leafs to win in regulation minus 127. Sure. Like if you want to do what my just $5 is going to be, it will be a three.
Just $5 on a minus 120?
No, it'll be a three-leg parlay.
Okay.
The Toronto Maple Leafs to win in regulation. The Toronto Blue Jays to win, and the Boston Red Sox to win. That's your homers parlay of the day.
Boom, we love it.
Leafs win, Blue Jays clinch playoffs tonight with those two wins. That together, just $5, plus 612.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's my just $5 of the day.
I like that. I don't love how both of our bets are kind of crossed, like they both have to hit for it to happen. Little, you know, left a little bit vulnerable with everything's riding on the Boston Red Sox winning. But in terms of standalone, just $5, I think that's a great one.
I wish you listeners all the best of luck. That was our Wake and Rake presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. I have a story for you, Justin.
Hit me.
Do you believe in conspiracies?
Not like fervently.
Fervently? What like, a day of like words.
I mean, they're conspiracy people, and I'm not one of those people.
Let me present something to you. Yesterday, on Google, you could search the World Cup and when the final game of the World Cup was going to be played, just in case you're doing planning and you would like to know what on December 18th will be happening. The World Cup was proposed to have Brazil versus France that evening in the World Cup final. That's what it said on the schedule. Who would be playing in the World Cup? It said Brazil versus France.
Okay.
It put that out there into the universe and said that this will be who is playing. Obviously, this caught a lot of heat online because that's interesting. Why is that labeled in there? It was then removed from Google. And you start to think, you know, it's not out of the realm that FIFA is quite corrupt. Sports conspiracies are a real thing to get behind. I'm sure Reddit is just fired up this morning with this prediction. But it's something to chew on, something to consider. Why did that happen? What's going on with Google? Google knows all. Google's AI, they can predict anything.
So when you ask me about conspiracies, like if I'm into them, am I a conspiracy guy? Generally, no. In this case, you know, totally no.
Oh.
Placeholders. That's about it. You know, things happen where you have to write in some names and, you know, make sure that everything's working and that, you know, it looks good in the programming and all that stuff. It's just a rematch of 1998, France and Brazil. If you were just like projecting who might go through in the World Cup and doing the mock drafts or doing the tournament brackets or whatever, you could land on France and Brazil reasonably. I'm sure it's going to cause an uproar, but I don't think that we're necessarily going to see a France-Brazil World Cup final just because Google had it 2 months ago.
If that is the World Cup final, though, you'll remember on September 28th when I brought this up and you shut it down because Brazil is plus 400 odds, the number one odds to win the World Cup.
Is France number two?
France is number three. Well, okay. Tied for two with Argentina, there plus 650.
They probably just went by ranking.
Why'd they have to do that in general? They could have just said X versus X. They didn't need to input a name. It's Google. They're not like some kid in their Excel spreadsheets putting in, this is what drives our universe. This is Google.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have to. But again, I think when you're like creating design, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, designing programs, maybe you just input it just so you know exactly what it's going to look like.
I don't know. Remember this.
I thought you were proposing a just $5, like exact World Cup final, France-Brazil.
Hey, you know what? Get on that right now, today. Can you do that on Unibet? Because if you can, this is your opportunity to be a part of Greg Ensinger's future, because he's probably all over this. Who's going to be in the final? I'm not sure you can parlay those together. But
no, you'll definitely be able to do exact World Cup finals. It might not be available yet, though. Still a couple months.
Keep that in mind, everybody. Tonight's a special night, actually, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They'll be honoring the 50th anniversary of the 1972 Summit Series and Team Canada tonight. I believe it's today is the exact anniversary or recently of this final game.
Mm-hmm. Paul Henderson's goal.
Right. You were not alive at that time.
Ailish.
But your family
where
was.
Where were you then?
I was merely an egg.
I mean, my father was being pulled out of school. I don't know if it was not preschool. I don't know if it was elementary, high school. But I think people of that vintage have very distinct memories of
he
that.
He wasn't on the call already?
I mean, he's getting up there, but not quite. Not quite. Just a couple years away. 72. But a big moment, obviously, mm-hmm. in this country's history. I think our Summit Series is Sidney Crosby, golden goal. Mm-hmm. Maybe Marie-Philippe Poulin.
Which one? Which one of her golden goals? All of them.
Exactly. That's the problem. You score too many, we can't like pinpoint just the
one.
Yeah,
come on. Just score one.
But obviously this means a lot to this country's hockey history, sporting history. And the Leafs, as they do everything right nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a good ceremony. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
I certainly will. I'll be down there tonight. Leafs and Canadians at 7, Yankees and Blue Jays at 7:07. A great night of split-screen viewing for Toronto fans. That just $5 parlay for it to be a perfect night in terms of Toronto narratives. Leafs to win in regulation, Blue Jays on the money line, Red Sox on the money line could be something you play today.
And we look to get back on track with Cody Thompson from St. Catharines, with Garrett Cole under 7.5. Me, Aaron Judge, over 1.5 bases.
You put his name in there? His last name?
Oh, I just doxed him.
Oh, my God. You don't put the last names out there. Now people are going to find him if he ruins the parlay.
Sorry, Cody. I'll leave all that to you moving forward.
All right. We're out. We'll be back tomorrow. It was the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.